off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 200. Cheers from the press box. I'm your host, Brendan Tassif. Joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. Joe, 200 episodes, baby.
200. Some people thought we couldn't get it done. Some people thought it would never happen. It would never come. But we did it. Look at us.
We did it. We're here. For anyone who is new to the show, thanks for tuning in. Episode 200 is going to be
a great
time.
I don't think we numbered the Foxworth episode, but still.
Well, that was a kind of a bonus thing.
But, yeah, it was a bonus thing. It was a 2-in-1 week that week.
For anyone who has not listened before, we are going to talk about the major things happening and some of the biggest sports right now. This is a sports podcast. We got the NFL, NCAA. We were going to talk NBA, but Joe and I spent a long time catching up at the start of this recording, and I have work early, so we're going to skip the NBA. We'll get to it next week. Quick hits. We'll talk about a couple of things quickly. You might be thinking, Brendan, the World Series is going on. Why is that not on the first block? It's going to be a quick hit, baby, because baseball's baseball.
It's going quickly.
And then we have a walk-off. I really had a well-thought-out, succinct, very poetic walk-off regarding Tua, concussion protocol, guardian caps. But then Tua slid, so I don't have that walk-off anymore. I was going to talk about like putting himself in harm's way and all this kind of stuff, but I don't need to do it anymore because he slid. So he's going to be fine. Everything's good. I had this whole thing about how athletes are going to be who they are and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so we're going to skip the walk-off that I just did. And then the press conference where we talk about our wares. If I'm talking pretty fast, it's because I got to work early. So, Joe, let's get to it.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
Here we go. We're talking NFL. Joe, I don't know if you have the time. I think I have it somewhere around here. I think it's time for
Moment of the Week.
Oh, Moment of the Week.
What happened?
You didn't have this as the game?
It wasn't the greatest game. It wasn't like a fun game to watch.
Well, you don't think a 12, what was the final score?
18-15, I want to say.
You don't think that's a great game? Yeah, it's time for the Moment of the Week. We're talking about the Washington Commanders versus the Chicago Bears. This is in Washington. Washington takes a commanding lead. Looks like they're going to be in control of this game Chicago. The whole time.
Oh, okay, yes.
And then Chicago comes back. It's 12-0, then 15 unanswered points. All of a sudden, you're like, oh my goodness, Caleb Williams is going to do it. And then Noah's Ark happens. The Hail Mary to Noah Brown in the end zone.
Noah's Ark, that's a good one.
I stole that from the fantasy football guys.
Damn, I was about to say, title of the episode?
But, I was watching on my phone. I had just gotten back from the gym. I was listening to Red Zone on my headphones at the gym. Took a shower, was watching it in the shower. Got one of those little stands. And then I put my PJs on, laid down on the bed, and I was like, let me just see the end of this game real quick, see what happens.
PJs on? This is a noon, it was a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah,
I guess like it was ending at like 7.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I wasn't doing anything the rest of the night. Then the reason I set all this up is because I'm laying on the bed in my pajamas and I'm like, oh, let's just see them run the clock out. There's no way they can get this. And then Jaden Daniels gets that out that Tony Romo called, by the way. And I was like, yeah, but he's got hurt ribs. I know he's got a cannon, but like he's banged up. I'll just watch. And I've referenced the same moment before. And Joe knows what I'm about to say. I had the same reaction as I did when Kawhi Leonard hit the Toronto Raptor shot. I'll never forget. I was sitting on my couch. This is back when I was with my ex. She was in the kitchen. Both the dogs were laying next to me. He hits that shot and I jumped up and I ran around the couch in circles going, this is why we play the game. This is why we play the games. And same reaction. Threw my phone across the bedroom. Shot up. Started running around our apartment. And Tracy, my girlfriend now, was freaking out. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I go, this is why. And I grabbed her and I shook her. And I go, this is why we play the game. She had no idea what was happening.
No clue.
So that's how I reacted to the moment of the week. Jaden Daniels wins. Joe, what were you doing? Where were you at when this happened?
Funny. So I've fallen into this routine on Sundays where I started making nachos around noon.
Yeah, this nacho thing has been kind of a
nacho thing. Yeah, so I did ground turkey this week, and it was really good. It came out amazing because there was so much there was so much meat there versus like chopping up the steak and everything. Like you're getting a couple cubes, but the way the meat is just it was delicious. Anyways, so by the 4 o'clock game, I'm kind of comatose, so I stop watching on the TV. I get on the computer. I tell the lady she can have the TV. I put Red Zone on one of the computer screens, and I'm playing video games on the other screen. And then I like halfway through those games, I go lay down in the bedroom. Like I just it's not even that.
You said you went from the couch to the computer chair. I was like, that is not a comfortable move.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable, but it's more of just like, all right, I can do two things now, less games. Yeah. And then I just go get a lay in the bed. So the thing is, missed the play.
For everyone listening, do you have the TV on or Red Zone on your phone when you lay down?
Yes.
Me too.
But
because I still feel like I'm working. I'm like, I gotta watch the games.
So
if something big happens, it'll wake me up.
I don't think I had the game on once I got to the bedroom, because like I was like, all these games are kind of like sucky at this point, anyways. So. And I've been trying to watch Succession, catch up on Succession, my whole election day thing or whatever. And I was like, let me throw this on. And then like three different group chats I'm in are like, holy fuck, what the? And I'm like, back to YouTube TV, go to Red Zone, hit back a couple times. And then I just see the play as is. And then I'm like, okay, like, is there going to be like a pick six or something? Like, there's no way. This is going to be a completed touchdown catch. Like that's obviously okay. Oh no. Oh my. That was easy. I was like, what? Like it just goes over everybody. There's just a man standing there. Boop. I'm like, wow, Noah Brown. Congratulations. Right, you're the hero. So yeah. It was pretty fantastic. It was, I did not jump around, and I was comatose, couldn't jump around. I already jumped around for Devontae Smith's touchdown earlier in the Eagles game. Batman. That was a good one. But, and also the witching hour was fantastic, by the way. So yeah, I was kind of like jumped and run around out at that point, but, I was impressed by this game. This is a game they flexed into this position. It was supposed to be Cincy Eagles, but they flexed, you know, the top two picks into this spot. Not an offensive outpouring, as
no, especially many Jayden's wanted. Been hurt. Jayden's really Jayden messed up,
dealing so. With an injury. The Commanders' defense kind of better than anyone would have imagined this
Am
season.
Am I crazy, or do they always have a front four?
Like they had a front four for a while. They had Sweat. But, they had.
But even before that, when they had Arakpo and all those guys, like
who's homeboy now in New Orleans? He was like Chase Young.
Chase Young.
They had Chase and Sweat.
But I think it's one of those things where it's the back end of their defense is always kind of suspect. But I think
they've had good spots of their defense. Like the thing is, like last year they punted on the entire season.
Well, 3 years ago when we first started doing this show, I remember I had Washington winning the NFC East, and it was like a crazy thought. But I was like, no, that defense is good. Like
they had looked close. Yeah. They had looked like they were moving in the right direction for a couple years there. Yeah, it was more or less
made me look like an asshole
finding a quarterback. And obviously they have found their quarterback.
Yeah.
But Dan Quinn, man, credit to him. He left the Cowboys. The Cowboys defense looks bad. He's in Washington. The Washington defense looks good. So, you know, that can be said for him.
100%. 2v1. This is the second year in a row where the second pick looks better than the first pick. We gave up on Bryce Young. That's obviously CJ Stroud's draft. Are we giving up on Caleb, or we still think this could be a tight race?
I think it could still be a tight race. I think there's still a lot of game left for Caleb. Caleb's
he's gotten better too, systematically over the course of the season.
Now, the thing that scares me for Caleb is he may be in a situation where I don't know how much longer his OC is for this job. We didn't talk about what could have been the more infamous play had they not scored and then Washington then go for the Hail Mary. But on a game potential winning drive in the red zone, they try to hand it off to an offensive lineman who's never touched the ball in this spot in any time of his career. Yeah. and they didn't get it, and they would have lost if not for them. They scored on the next drive they had.
Uh-oh.
Hello, hello?
There he is. Sorry about that, folks. Had a quick technical. You said if it wasn't for that, they would have scored on the next drive they had. And then you kept talking, so I'm just going to pretend I heard you.
Yes, they did hear me. So what I was getting ready to say was the thing that Detroit did was they were up like 1,000 points before they started getting cute with their offensive linemen against Dallas, and they were doing it like in a game-winning necessary situation. So I think there's another turnover. I don't know if the head coach is going to go away, even though I felt like he should have been fired last year, but they retained him and now they look better as a whole team collectively. So,
yeah, I think everyone's kind of coming into their own. The shitty part is they have the hardest, according to
the toughest division.
Yeah. Well, and according to playoff prediction and stuff like that, they have the hardest remaining schedule after next week. I think they play someone not too difficult next week, but then they have the hardest remaining schedule after that.
Yeah, so I think the thing is you'd want to see a little more consistency. If there was one knock I'd give him, it's that if there was one knock I'd give Jaden is that week after week, he looks to be doing what he needs to do. He's putting his team in position to win every single time. He's getting the numbers. He's being efficient. Whereas Caleb, there's games where it's like, oh, there it is, the number one pick. And then his game is like, all right, you know, just defense, keep playing as best as you can and keep them close so maybe he can pull something off at the end.
Yeah, coming up, their schedule is in 2 weeks they have the Patriots, which is okay. But they also have the Cardinals next week, then the Packers, Vikings, Lions, Niners, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, who look pretty good, and then the Packers again. So this, I mean, they could lose a majority of those games after
all those dang division games, honestly.
Yeah, you're playing a hard division. You haven't even started playing in your division yet. So you got to do the Vikings twice, Packers twice, and the Lions twice. So that's going to suck.
A potential six L's.
We got to move on. Coming up now, I think this is the true game of the week. This was exciting. This was fun. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens in Cleveland at their former stomping ground before they were the Baltimore Ravens going against the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson's first game, like officially first game, second game, officially out, game out with the injury. Jameis Winston comes in. Monster. The fantasy kingmaker. Eat the W. Is it Jameson? It's Jameis, right?
Jameis.
I don't know why. Yeah, I heard someone say Jameson, and now it's in my head. Like, it's not Jameis.
His name is weird, but it's just Jameis.
No, it's just Jameis. Yeah. So Jameis comes in 350 yards on the day. Wanted to throw that
334.
Pick. 334.
Tried so hard to throw so many interceptions.
Did throw the pick.
Especially.
Did throw the pick on the game-winning drive, or the go-ahead touchdown drive.
He threw the pick. Kyle Hamilton did not catch the pick.
All pro, some would say, the best safety in the NFL dropped it.
Hit him like five times, his chest, the helmet, the hands, like,
hit him in the hands, bounced to his chest, back to his hands, hit him in the helmet.
Game ends right there, but it did not, and Jameis gets a pass up that is as, I mean,
Tillman.
Gets it to Cedric Tillman. I was going to say, I think Bomani had the best tweet on Jameis, and now I can't remember it. Keep going. I'm going to look it up real fast.
All right. Yeah, so it's the first time the Browns have scored over 20 points. I heard an interesting stat that this season. I'm sorry. I heard an interesting stat that I think I can't remember it, so it's kind of stupid. But basically it was Deshaun. Oh, this is what it was. Deshaun Watson hadn't thrown for 300 yards in his 19 starts with the Browns. So however many years it's been, in his 19 starts, Deshaun Watson has not thrown for 300 yards. And in the last two seasons, DTR, Joe Flacco, and Jameis Winston have now all had 300-yard games.
It's insane. The Bomani tweet was, having Jameis as your quarterback is like watching Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
It's just vacillating, just aggressively. Like, yes. You're on edge at all times.
High anxiety, high anxiety. But the Cleveland gets the win. I want to talk to you quickly about the Ravens because they do have the 32nd ranked pass defense. They have lost now. I heard this crazy stat that they have lost 18 games since Lamar has been there. They have lost 18 games in the last 2 minutes with a lead.
Yeah. It's insane.
I mean, it's out of like the sample size is pretty big because Lamar's been there for a few years now, but it's like, that's still a shocking number to have 18 losses. That's an insane with the lead with 2 minutes number. Left.
And
yeah,
I mean, some of that, I mean, you're trying to, everybody's trying to parse the blame, figure out, you know, what is the issue. Some of that falls at the feet of Lamar. Some of that, a lot of that, honestly, falls at the feet of a guy I really like, John Harbaugh. Like,
yeah.
You've been the head coach for all of these.
Some of it is luck. Some of it is luck.
Some of it is
luck. If you're a team that's down, you're going to hawk the ball through the air.
Some of it is luck for sure, but that's a large. Nothing to knock. I don't care for her. That's a lot of losses where you could sandpaper that game away. There's just a lot more there than that. Like, there's some chances you could take, some fourth downs you could potentially go for, having that dynamic of quarterback. I feel like they...
Well, it is the best. It is the best running offense in the league.
I feel like they take their foot off the gas in some points. Like, we saw this in the Raiders game earlier this year, where it's like, you get a big lead, and it's kind of like, what do we do now? And it's like, well, you could keep just playing how you're playing, like... You know, everything doesn't have to go into prevent and then run it three times, punt. Like, you can keep trying to score. We saw, in this same week, we saw Detroit do that, like, not get complacent, put up 50-some points. Like, when you're rolling, you're rolling. They were rolling in this game, and then they just took their foot off the gas, and the next thing you know, it's a close ball game. I don't want to – I think we're at the end of the Justin Tucker life cycle.
Yeah. He's missed. I mean, we saw the shades of that last year.
We saw shades of it last year. I want to say he's missed like a good bit of his kicks this year. He's only 76% on the season.
Which is unlike him.
Very unlike him.
Hall of Fame career. He's a great kicker, but yeah, I think he's at the end.
He's
of
missed
life cycle.
Four That's field goals, three of which were 50 yards or more. And one within the 50. The one
he does hold the record too for most consecutive over 50 yard kicks made.
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of slippage. You want your kicker to be at least in the 90s, at least in the 90s, 85 at worst, but in the 70s. The long leg of is kind of gone from his arsenal. He's not giving you the long ones. He can give you anything under. But 50 plus, he has not been as good as he's been in the past.
Yeah, and you know,
I mean, and that put them in the situation where they needed a touchdown to win this game because they had drove, they attempted a field goal, didn't get it. That's when Cleveland then scores the touchdown, and now they have the ball and they need to score again. I do want to point out one thing in this game. This is the last thing I want to point out in this game. We had the potential for one of the best plays. We had the potential for a great moment in this game because if you see the all 22s on the last play, Lamar scrambles in the pocket, runs out, pump fakes the defender. Before he throws that ball, if he decided to run, now you got everybody on the defense in the end zone. On the left side of the field. It's like one guy in the middle. It's pretty much a 30-yard sprint to see if Lamar can get to the goalpost.
He's pretty good at those.
I think there's a possibility he could get there. And if not, he's going to have to, like, you know, it's going to be John Elway, like, helicopter play at the line, like, something like that. Yeah. But there was an opportunity. He threw the ball, and, like, all the defenders are there. It wasn't that great of a Hail Mary situation, like how Jaden Daniels had it set up, because the field was much shorter. Because I think it was only, like, 25, 30 yards-ish.
Yeah, Hail Marys are harder on a shorter field.
Yeah, on a shorter.
Because there's a lot less space.
So I think if he just, because everybody's paying attention to the left side of the field. Everybody's body language, everybody's body placement is turned that way. You have the one defender he just punt faked. If he just dead sprints and just decides to leap,
just
I think he fucking gets that. I think he would have gotten it.
Actually having a better season this year than he did last year in his MVP year, statistically, but just sometimes they can't get just out of their own way. Sometimes they're just stuck.
And we're not going to talk about this team today, but you see the difference in the teacher versus the student. Andy Reid is winning these games, pulling these games out of his keister. I don't know how the Chiefs are winning. That's why we really haven't even talked about them, because I can't explain a lot of their wins. Like, Mahomes is playing statistically the worst football we've ever seen him play, but he's making the plays in the moments they need to. They're putting him in position. The defense is playing exceptionally well. And Andy Reid was the head coach when John Harbaugh was the special teams coach for the Eagles. And you see how Andy Reid doesn't have that stat where he's lost this number of games in the final closing minutes. Like, there's, I don't know what it is. I can't, like, put a thing like, oh, he needs to do this better. But I think that comes down to the head coach.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's also one of those things where they've been in, they've given up leads, and then they've been back in it because you're like, okay, Lamar, like, show us.
Go be
and
Superman.
Sometimes, yeah, more often. I mean, sometimes he does come through, but then sometimes he doesn't. You're just kind of like, all right, I guess.
I would say also, but Rashard Bateman had, and Rashard Bateman had this was before they were down. I think Cleveland was pressing them at this point. Lamar throws a fucking beauty up to Rashard Bateman, who's in the middle of the field, pretty much with 5 yards, 10 yards in every direction of space. And I don't know if it was the sun, but the ball hit him in his face mask.
Yeah, they said he lost
it. Yeah, I was like, I'm just like, you can't win for losing. You can't win for trying. Like, what do we?
I know. And I will say this, as someone who has Zay Flowers on his fantasy team again, don't appreciate having single digit, multiple single digit receivers on a team.
Oh, yeah. Because
when that
confusing
ball was thrown, I was like,
that's Zay. It's like,
and then
seven?
I thought it was seven.
Ah,
I was like, shoot. Fuck. All right, moving on.
Oh, man.
All right, now we are going to talk about the AFC South divisional matchup. And no, I'm not talking about my team. Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts. I'd expect this to be a barn burner or a boat race, excuse me, by the Texans. But this is a lot closer than it looked. Anthony Richardson, 2 completions in the first half, 468 yards, because one of them was a bomb.
I have a question for you, Ben.
Go ahead.
Is Anthony Richardson long for this world?
No.
Is Anthony
Joe Flacco's going to
start? Is Anthony
the next
Richardson
game.
Is that's not even like the who's going to start. I'm talking about is he going to be Trey Lance too?
No, absolutely not. I think he's a better quarterback than Trey Lance.
I don't know if we can say that. We haven't seen Trey Lance that much.
Yeah, that's my point.
I don't
Trey Lance, I mean, the people at practice see them every single day. And if
well,
Trey
the
Lance
problem
the
is they
field,
just gave
Anthony
Dak a bajillion dollars and he still stinks. So
I know that. But I mean, even talking about back,
he
in,
was hurt for
San
a
Francisco,
lot of that.
We,
yeah, you know what I mean, I'm just saying.
I think, I guess the sample size, I'm being biased towards the sample size because we've seen Anthony Richardson make those some of those throws where you're like, what is this?
Well, the reason
there was a lot of talk
the reason
about Josh Allen.
I asked this question, not Josh Allen whatsoever. And I think this comes down to why not Josh Allen. There was a moment in the game in the third quarter.
I think we know why, Joe.
There was a moment in the game in the third quarter where Andy Richardson like sprinted for like the fourth time in a row. took a tackle. I thought it was an awkward tackle. Goes to the taps his helmet.
I thought it was going to be his hip again.
I thought it was his knee because the way the defender kind of grabbed on his leg.
The defender, for those of you listening, like kind of, put his shoulder into his hip and then wrapped up and like kind of slid down his leg. So I was like, oh, this could be any number.
Yeah, it could be a knee. It could be an ankle. It could be a hip. Like, I was like, oh, man, he might be hurt. He tapped his helmet, came out the game for a couple plays, and then came back in.
Just lie.
He gets asked about it at the press conference, and he says,
lie. Just lie.
I got tired, and I needed a breather because I ran so many times in a row. And I'm like, yeah, that's not it, my guy. Like, this is the NFL. Lie. Like, what?
You just say, I got tackled kind of weird. I didn't know.
Something felt awkward. Da-da-da. I needed a breather.
Yeah.
Like, you know who doesn't respect that? Your offensive linemen who just are in every play. They're just, when you have to run around, they're still in there running around, making blocks, trying to protect you and everything. Like,
also, you could just run. Jonathan Taylor was playing really well. Just to hand it off.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think his lack of experience, like it's been popularized. I think he's now cracked 20 games played in high school, college, and the pros now. But I don't think he's played enough football to understand, like, football.
Yeah, very Mitch Trubisky kind of trajectory.
Yeah, he kind of was like a meteoric rise and toolsy, has everything, but...
Yeah, got redshirted, played a couple games his next year, and then all of a sudden, his 1 year starting year, everyone's like, oh boy, oh boy.
Like...
And
it's funny that it happened in this uniform for this team, because the most memorable story that I remember about Peyton Manning, even though illustrious career, everything like that, Peyton Manning, there was a game where they're blowing somebody out and the starters were coming out of the game. And I think it's Curtis Painter or somebody, they're looking for their helmet. They can't find it. Peyton Manning runs back into the game. He would not dare let another quarterback take a snap while he was able to. I think he hid the helmet of the backup.
That is the rumor, that he put the helmet under the bed so he couldn't find
it. So you could not take Peyton Manning out of the game for a thing, and you have Anthony Richardson just saying he was tired. Like, dog, while you were hurt, Flacco, I don't know if you remember, was lighting it up. Like, you could be on thin ice here pretty shortly if you keep having 10 for 32s. Like,
oh, I think he's already through this. I think this is Flacco's team now.
So,
and to your point, I think Flacco has the locker room.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't come out. You can't.
You can't come out of the game like that. You can't come out of
it. And also, it's just one of those things where if I play for that team and I see the success that Anthony Richardson had early, and you're like, okay, cool. Because remember that for game one, when he threw that bomb on a rope as he was getting tackled 50 yards, and you're like, this is the guy.
He has that capability.
Yeah. And then he gets, well, again, he was two completions for 68 yards because one of them was a bomb. But then he gets hurt. And then Flacco comes in and you start winning, you start having success, and Flacco's like kind of lasering the ball everywhere. I mean, they're what are they, 4-4? Yeah, and then when Anthony comes back, you're kind of like, if I'm a teammate, I'm like, nah, this isn't gonna work for me. Like, this isn't gonna work.
The thing is, I mean, we're in our second full year of Anthony. He got hurt last year on the shoulder, I believe. So yeah, he really couldn't work on anything.
Four games in.
So, I mean, like, the thing is, there's a lot of promise there. Like,
yeah,
there's a reason you draft.
I think you do the fifth year option. I think, I don't know. I don't think you give him an extension, but the fifth year option is $20 million. Like, it's not.
I gotta see a lot before. I gotta see a lot in year four to get that fifth year. But Baker didn't get the fifth year, and I think Baker at this point was a better quarterback than he is. But the thing is, again, Baker played a lot of fucking football up to that point.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Baker, like, was fiending to play. Like, there's And Anthony Richardson, from everything I know, he's a really good kid, really good, like part of the community, anything. Yeah, I don't know if he has that burning desire to
That's what I was just about to ask you. We hear this all the time, especially in basketball, where guys are like, I was over 6'5", so they told me I had to play basketball. I don't even like basketball. We see this in football sometimes when people are freak athletes and they're just like, oh, you're going to play football, especially if you're raised in the South. Do you think this is a thing where he was put into football early and he was just so good at it at that level because he was so much better than everybody? He just maybe he just doesn't want to play.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a Mike Vick situation. Like, his God-given gifts are just that good that he thinks like he doesn't need to really work at it that much. Yeah. Or it could just be. I hate to question like his desire, his passion, but from.
I mean, he plays hurt. He
yeah. That's what I'm saying. He has that.
He's going out there hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I just don't know what the disconnect is. Is it just, you know, inconsistency in play and that's just that? Or is it like, I don't know. It just feels like it's not working the way it should at this point.
Yeah.
Because Shane Steichen has a offense that.
That's what I was
it made Jalen Hurts look like a potential Hall of Famer in the 2 years.
Shane Steichen is the coach. It's not like, oh, this is the coaching. It's not like Jacksonville where you're like, this guy is talented, but the coaching sucks. Yeah,
like
it's like
he made it work with Gardner Minshew last year. He made it work in the games Joe Flacco played this year. It looks obviously two completely different scenarios, but it looks very similar to the Cleveland Browns. When Deshaun Watson's out of the game, fucking Jacoby Brissett looks good. Flacco looks good. DTR looks serviceable. Looks good. Yeah. Like, but then when Winston's in there, Winston looks good. And when Watson's in there, it all looks like shit. When Anthony Richardson's in there, it looks good, but it should be better. And when other people come in, it kind of looks better.
And it is a thing where it can be incredibly frustrating for a coach because you're like, no, the plays work.
Yeah.
Trust me. You know how I know that? Because Flacco made them
they
work.
They worked Gardner a week ago. Like,
yeah, the plays work. But when he's missing throws the way he's... Sometimes he looks like he could put... You could put like a pin on the end of that ball and he could thread a fucking needle with it. And then other times you're just like, where are you... Who it's are just, you looking yeah, at, my man?
It's just the inconsistency in play. I think that's what it is at the end of the day. I think he has... Like you said, he's played through injury... He has the will. He has the want to. It's just, yeah, consistency is the game. Consistency is the game.
I will say this. There is a difference between playing hurt and having a mindset of playing hurt and then just being gassed. I mean, I'm dogging him for coming out of the game, but, like, I know that feeling of, like,
I'm dogging
him
too.
You don't understand. Like, I can't breathe.
I just saw, and this is not a tired situation, I just saw Jalen Hurts. His shoe wasn't untying, and he was like, no, get me another shoe. Kenny Pickett's not taking a damn snap. Like, call a timeout. Like, fuck that. Like, I'm getting back in this game. Fuck an equipment malfunction.
I have taken an important phone call in the subway and had to sprint up the stairs and, like, been on the phone with, like, important people and been like,
Look, I've worked as a delivery driver. I've done a lot of canvassing this election cycle. I began like my guy. I was in Stone Mountain the other day, going door to door, and some steep fucking driveways. I'm getting to the door like, all right, knock, and then hold the breath, and then when they talk, just boom. Like, it's not playing a fucking NFL football game, but like you said, the next play should just be a. All right, hand it to Jonathan Taylor. Like, that's how you catch your breath.
I mean, I don't know. But Houston does have quite a few injuries. Speaking on the other half of this game, they win the game. You asked, can Houston survive these injuries? I think they can. I just think they're blessed with the division that they're in. I think they're going to be fine. I really wanted Indy to win this game because if Indy won, then all of a sudden we're all tied up as far as number one seed for the division and the Jags were still in it, but now we're kind of completely out of it. I think Houston's going to be just fine.
Okay.
CJ Stroud, more than the injuries, CJ Stroud has not been playing well. Compared to last year.
Yeah. I think last year, the thing was he set a pretty high bar. I don't know if he was ever going to be able to reach that, duplicate that in successive years. But I don't know. I think the injuries may catch up because now Diggs, who was the top receiver in this game, he suffered a non-contact injury, hoping for the best there.
Not for the year, maybe.
Nico Collins, we don't know how far away he is coming back. Tank Dell, who was a big talent who got hurt last year, is back this year. He's been playing pretty well. John Michi the third.
Daytona Beach's own Tank Dell?
Daytona Beach's own. John Michi the third is working his way back from getting drafted, 2 years ago now after getting diagnosed with cancer. He's working his way back up. Oh, Robert Woods spotting. I didn't think he was still in the league.
I forgot he was in the league too.
I was like, wait, what? I was like, this guy's still hanging around here.
I did forget he was in the league.
So that was interesting to see. But no, I think this defense.
I literally saw and I go, wait, Robert Woods?
I saw the two Woods and I'm like, that's not who I think it is, right?
Yeah, no? Me too.
It is? What? Was he still here? But the defense is still playing exceptionally well. This game was a part of that witching hour madness because at a certain point late in the game where it looked like the Texans were sanding it away, there was a fumble by the running back. I don't remember if it was Mixon or Gumawale, but the Colt got it and it looked like a run back and it looked clean until the replay showed that he got touched while his knee was down still. And that set up that last drive, and then you know they didn't get it. They didn't get it. So,
yep. So, all right, here we go. Let's go one round. All right, we're gonna have to be super quick on these. Green Bay, Jacksonville, and Duval. Jacksonville hung in this game. Our offense stinks. Our offense is garbage. Fire Doug Peterson. Fire Trent Baalke. Fire Press Taylor. It stinks. I was shocked. The defense didn't quit on this offense earlier. They didn't quit at all. We were in this game the whole fucking way. Green Bay kicked a field goal to win the game in the closing seconds. Stinks. It's not the players. Love the players. The play calling stinks. Don't you dare defend Press Taylor right now.
I'm not going to defend Press. I just want to ask an honest question. Is Trevor Lawrence in the Anthony Richardson conversation? Yes. Like,
you're out of your mind. Trevor Lawrence is the
guy. I'm saying as far as inconsistency, like the interception he threw, the fumble he had, it's kind of like, dog, what are you doing? Like, you shouldn't be making these mistakes at this point.
He is turnover prone, but you know who else is? Josh Allen. So,
Josh Allen. I was going to say this year, I think he threw his first interception this year. He's good,
but you see how I titled that together? Because we were saying Anthony
I know. Josh Allen.
God, I'm a fucking pro. No, I think Trevor Lawrence is. He is turnover prone, and some of his throws, you're like, what are you looking at?
Had a dime of a touchdown catch, by the way. Again, a part of that red zone witching hour madness to Evan Ingram. My God.
So this is what I'll say. I want to be quick, but we do have a lot of injuries. The offensive line is a huge issue, and I've been saying this. Joe, it's well documented. Joe knows how much we all know how much he doesn't like the draft, how much I love the draft. I have been saying since we've been doing the show and even before that for years, we need offensive linemen. Cam Robinson is not the answer at left tackle. For 4 years, I have said that, and then they gave him an extension, and now he's hurt again. That guy could get hurt playing chess. We need to worry about the offensive line. Trevor Lawrence is not consistent. Because Trevor Lawrence, what was that, 3 weeks ago when he did a spin for someone who wasn't there? Like he's there's too much pressure. There's too much pressure. What we need to do is get a top five pick, trade out for a team that's QB hungry, and then just draft offensive linemen. Trevor's the guy. Brian Robinson Jr. is the guy. Evan Ingram, we still have 2 years left on his deal after this year. He is the guy. The
BTR, whatever his name is. That dude,
yeah,
is
Brian Thomas God. Jr.
BTJ, sorry,
he's the guy.
Like,
we're okay, and the defense.
Tank Bigsby, the guy.
We were missing. Yeah, ETN.
I never said it then.
I'll say it again.
Never was the guy.
Never was. Don't take a running back in the first round. Tank Bigsby, by the way, fourth round pick. I wonder. We could have gotten an offensive lineman
if they're really good. Working out good for two teams.
We could have gotten an offensive lineman with that. With that pick.
Well, the last thing I was going to say.
Was, Love is hurt. That was not Trayvon Walker's fault. All right. Everyone's like, oh, Trayvon Walker bumped him when he wasn't paying attention. He had a groin injury before that. All right.
He's coming in with stuff. But
don't come after my guy Trayvon. I've turned a corner on Trayvon.
What I was gonna say was the spin in the pocket. I don't know if that you gotta hang tough, man. Like I saw a lot of guys hang tough in the pocket over the last couple of days. Daniel Jones, who I don't praise at all. I think he sucks. That guy stands tough in the pocket. What's my Kirk Cousins? I was gonna
attribute it to he has more athletic ability, but Daniel Jones can run.
Kirk Cousins stood coming off an Achilles injury, standing tough.
Well, he can't go anywhere. He has to.
But I mean, there's a difference in standing, hanging in there, taking a hit, knowing a hit's coming, and freaking doing twirls in the pocket. Like, what are you doing?
I've seen him stand tough.
Guys doing ballet just because you think somebody's there. Nobody's there.
All right. I'm not standing on a soapbox saying Trevor Lawrence is the guy who was promised to us. But what I am saying is he is going
the guy
to
you
be
paid.
The Jaguars quarter. He's the guy we paid. He's the guy we trust with this team. It's the offense. I think the offensive line and the coordinator, if not the head coach, I love Dougie Fresh. Everyone knows that. But if he will not fire Press Taylor, then you have to fire them all. Also, get rid of Trent Baalke. Love the Brian Thomas pick. But you haven't taken an offensive lineman in the first or second round in 4 years. Like, fire him. Fire him.
One more round.
Flip side of that coin, Philadelphia Eagles winning 37-17. Somehow we still can't score in the first quarter. But that was primarily
That's a weird stat.
It dates back to like last year, week 16 or some shit. It's really odd. But primarily in this game, that's because the Bengals started with like a 10-minute drive that just ate up all the time in the world. And then our first drive went over into the second quarter, but we ended up scoring on our first drive. So that's actually good. I think it was just a field goal. But Jalen played great. played mistake free.
It was a close game until it
was. Yeah, it was a close game until it was not. He played mistake free football again for the third game in the row. That was fantastic. We won the turnover battle as a whole. That's not something that the Eagles can say. Got an interception, got a fumble recovery. Those were pretty both spectacular. I think they finally figured out. It always takes Sirianni a couple of weeks to remember, you know, how to win with this team. Run the ball, play action, and play good defense. That's really all it takes. The offensive line is spectacular. Yep. The defensive line has been improving week over week. The DBs that we've brought in, Coop DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, they've been playing spectacular. Slay keeps getting hurt every week, and they keep stepping up every week. N'Kobe Dean, who we praised last week, is making plays all over the field. Bond is making plays all over the field. So a lot of good coming off that defense. The offense, just don't turn over the ball. Be consistent. You know, have sustainable drives, and it's all going to look good. Hopefully Goddard comes back this week. Grant Calcaterra has been playing well in his stead. Saquon has been, you know, everything you wish and was promised. As far as Cincinnati, you know, I think I told everybody this was going to happen. So,
one more round.
You're coming. We're coming into Philly next week. We were supposed to be the night game, but then I got flexed out. All right, Miami, Arizona. This is in Miami. Tua's back. This offense looks great when Tua's healthy. It's insane that they went from statistically, when Tua was out, they were statistically one of the worst offenses in football to, again, now making plays. Tua slid, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. Marvin Harrison Jr. for Arizona looks good. I heard some weird thing on a podcast where they were saying that the route tree that he was running for the first 4 weeks was like a very complex route tree. And Marvin Harrison Jr. was notably one of his lower skills coming out of the draft was his route running. Really? So he wasn't like the best route runner. He was a physical specimen and he could run routes, but it was just like, he wasn't at the level of like a Mikel. What? I almost just had a stroke.
Malik Nabers?
Nabers. Sorry. I don't know why.
I was like, I can't figure out who he's trying to say.
Mikal Bridges? Malik Nabers as far as route running. But so they've bumped him down to like some more like just, he's a rookie. They've bumped him down to more like less choice routes, less option routes. Like, just go out and use your physical
gifts. Yes, a traditional route tree instead of all bells and whistles.
Hey, what are they doing? What are they sitting in? Now you run this instead of that.
Instead of reading, so he's been playing really well, and reacting. Yeah. Just, hey, go do this.
Just run. Yeah. Arizona ends up winning this game, but it was a close game. And I think Miami actually might be okay with Tua healthy. And again, Tua slid.
Okay, in terms of like.
One more thing.
You know,
okay, in terms of like, I think Mike McDaniel now keeps his job. Okay. Like, that was all on the table. Trade, you know, are they going to trade Tyreek Hill? He's still got a couple years left. Like, Jalen Waddle had a couple huge
They should trade Tyreek because, this season's over. And if we've learned anything, Jalen Waddle is not that guy.
He's not that Jesus guy. Yeah, Christ. He had two huge drops. Tua still trusts him, though. Still kept throwing him the ball. Yeah. But
well, he went to college.
He had one drop wide open. In the third, it was like third down and eight, wide open for like 15 yards, just dropped, like no one around, just dropped it. I remember watching, like I kind of glanced over until the end of the play, and I was like, oh, he must have gotten like tagged. He must have gotten hit. And then they replayed the play. I go, there's no one around him.
He's the word of the day is inconsistency. The guy's just very inconsistent.
Yeah, Kyler looks good. If Kyler can stay healthy, man, Kyler's good. And I've always said that if he can...
Is that what you've always said?
One of those things.
Is that what you've always said?
That's what I've always said. That's what I've always said about Kyler. I mean, luckily he hasn't, or luckily for my take, he's gotten hurt, but it's never good to see anybody get hurt. Kyler, stay healthy. I've always had faith in you.
One more row.
The Cowboys lose, which is always great. They got beat by a bad this year, on this year's standards, San Francisco team. And then Nick Bosa went and showed us his ass on national TV. So,
what did he do? I heard all about this.
So Brock Purdy, you know, quarterback of the winning team, had a pretty dang good game. Being interviewed, you know, Sunday Night Football, you get interviewed after the game. Everybody's talking, blah, 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 blah. And out of nowhere, Nick Bosa runs into camera. Wearing a Make America Great hat, and points to his hat, and then runs out of camera.
Wow, it's
very odd.
You know, I always like that Bosa family.
And this is not something new. If you've paid attention, Bosa's always been, you know, we've always been aware of his, you know, racism, and his past tweets and everything. And it's one of the other reasons I don't like San Francisco and pray for them to lose and have laughed the two times they've lost the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs, to a black man. But in the press conference...
Nick Bosa is an edge rusher. Is he not... He's not black?
Nick Bosa is not black. Vietnamese, not black.
In fact, he's gone out of his
way. He's gone out of his way to let you know. Don't confuse me with these other guys. But the thing was that in the press conference, when asked about it, very coy, very shy, doesn't want to make the statement that he just made on the field. So if you're going to say something, say it with your chest. Like, stand on what you believe in, my guy. Like, so, you know.
That's more of a detriment. Backpedaling on that is more of a detriment.
Yeah, because it shows that you... Either you are in it for the hatred or you are scared to display your hatred.
Yeah. I mean, I say it all the time. I don't care what you believe. Just believe in it, man. Just believe.
I was saying, just say it with your chat. Like, you know, if he said, oh, it's an important moment. Say why you believe it's an important moment.
Yeah,
like,
why? Well, why? Go ahead. I mean,
if you got something to say, teammates. Say something. Yeah. So,
God, I didn't know that. That's hilarious. Dallas lost, which was great for my take on Dak Prescott being the most overrated, overpaid quarterback in the NFL. All right, ladies and gentlemen, time for everyone's favorite game. It's sweeping the nation. We're talking NCAA football. Who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down? Hosted by the legendary Joe Dorville.
Brennan, who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out? Brennan, which one do you want first?
Let's go with who's in, who's out.
Who's in, who's out. Great choice. Vanderbilt is out after losing a close game to Texas. It was a
closer than Texas would have liked, I'm pretty sure. Also, the Navy is out. Unfortunately, the unpatriotic team of Notre Dame beat up on our nation's Navy and got them unranked. Very unfortunate. Who's in this week? Washington State. I don't know why. They're 7-1. I don't know who they beat this past week. Also, Colorado is in at 23. Washington State's at 22. Colorado's in at 23. They beat a team I can't remember right now, but it was a late game. Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati. That's what it was. So, yeah, shouts out to them. Who's up? Who's down? A lot of teams, a lot of movement, but nothing in the top four. The top four is still the same. Somehow we still have 2 1-loss teams in the top four. Miami sits at 5 now, still unbeaten. Just put a hurting on Florida State, convincing one. Ohio State, it took them a last second touchdown or last second defensive stop to beat Nebraska to pull out their win. So I don't know how they still get the benefit of the doubt there. But Penn State and Ohio State, I believe, play this week. So the winner out of that will hopefully drop below Miami. Oh, so for the rest of who's up, who's down. Missouri is down to 25. Illinois down to 24. Army is up to 21. SMU up to 20. Ole Miss down to 19. Pitt up to 18. Kansas State down to 17. LSU down 8 spots. This is your biggest drop this week. They lost to Texas A&M. They're down to 16.
Texas A&M on fire.
Texas A&M has been on a roll lately. Boise State is up 2 spots. They're up to 15. Alabama up 1 spot to 14. Indiana, undefeated Indiana, sitting on the outside looking in right now at 13. Your top 12 consists of, like I said, Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Miami, Texas comes in at number 6. Tennessee, Notre Dame jumped up 4 spots to number 8. BYU jumped up 2 spots to number 9. Texas A&M jumped up 4 spots to number 10. Iowa State jumped up, fell down 1 spot, sorry, just didn't play a game this week and went down to number 11. And Clemson went 2 spots down after also, I believe, not playing this week to tied for number 11. So you have 2 teams tied for 11, so that makes your top 12. Indiana on the outside looking in. Alabama also outside looking in at 14. Boise State.
Would not have said this at the beginning of the season. BYU is favored by 17.5 going up against Utah, which at the beginning of the year, everyone was like, but Utah's missing their quarter. It was that, like, a Heisman favorite quarter. Yeah. So it's like,
Mr. 8 years, Cam Rising.
Yeah. If you would have told me that Utah was going to be underdogs by 2.5 touchdowns, I'd have been like, you're out of your mind.
BYU's been playing really well this season. They just beat UCF, yeah. I want to say. Yeah. Convincingly, like 10 plus points. They're trying to fire Gus Malzahn out there. Shout out to Jeremy Taché, kind of leading the cavalry, trying to get my good buddy Jeremy Taché from the Lebatard Show, trying to get Gus Malzahn fired.
Wow.
It's their thing. It's their thing. UCF, all fans, all hands on deck trying to get that guy out of there. He stinks.
Stinks.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick, name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right,
we're going to go quick with the quick hits. We're going to talk about the World Series. The New York Yankees have lost to the Los Angeles Dodgers again. It is now 0-3. Everyone said, I'm in New York. Everyone said this is a must-win game at home. Don't worry. They're going to show up. Nobody showed up. It's a bullpen game. What is that, tonight or tomorrow? So we'll see what happens. But
they showed up really late. It's like Brennan missing that train that people didn't hear the story about. I just remembered it was pre-show. Oh,
my gosh. I literally went from having one of the best nights of my life to missing a train by seconds, and then the next one wasn't for 37 minutes and wanting to kill everyone. Because there's no other way to get home. Yeah. It's like I'm just stuck now waiting 40 minutes.
Yeah, I hope you had a podcast.
Anyway, New York.
The Yankees are in a hole. In game one, they got out of a hole. Looks like, hey, you know, we might win this. They took a one-run lead in the tenth, and then at the bottom of the tenth, Freddie Freeman hit a grand slam home run walk off.
Yeah, and then game two, I think I don't know if we talked about it here, but I was at work for that, watching it. It was kind of late. We only had a couple of tables left, so I was kind of watching the last top of the ninth. Bases loaded. Volpe comes up. Goes down swinging, and then next batter comes up, pops it up, out. Yeah. Three, what were they, down by two? Three guys on base. It's like.
Were they down? Yeah, they were down.
Yeah, they were down by two. It was 4-2. Yeah, something like that. 4-3. Yeah, and I was just like, all right, well, here you go. This is it. And in my head, I was like, please, for the love of God, get this guy out so these tables will leave because I didn't want them to have to play the bottom of the ninth. Yeah, and then again, lost again, and then again. Yeah, so Yankees are out.
Yankees are.
Ohtani, I thought he was really hurt after that.
Yeah, then he comes back yesterday, and I know he had a run at the very least.
Yeah, best leadoff, baby. All right, let's go.
All right, and the Fulham corner.
Here we go.
Gonna just start the music low. So we played a game.
Okay, I was gonna do the whole intro. And
everything. No. I just try to get you out of here. You gotta work, buddy. So we played a game. Who the heck did we play against? I can't even remember now. But we drew. It was unfortunate. It was a similar thing that's happened like three times this season now, where we're in position the entire way, and then at the last second.
In position. Got to get in position.
In Porzingis. Pause. We were in position to win the game, and then all of a sudden we fell on our face. Who the heck did we play? Everton. That's right. We played Everton. Yep. Alex Iwobi scored a goal in the second half, and it was like, all right, everything's looking good. We're doing the things we need to do. We're defending the heck out of this. They got nothing on us. And then last second, we conceded. We conceded a goal. They got the goal. And then it was just like, it was not good. It was very disappointing. And then we were never able to bounce back and get anything else after that. So,
still at the top 10.
Still in the top 10. But hold on. Let me see if I can find this real fast. If Twitter's working. Fulhamish posted like all the missed opportunities that we had. It's not pulling up right now. But there's been like five instances where we were either tied or leading and conceded a goal in like the 80th minute or more to drop points. Like we could have had 3 points here. We could have had 3 points last week against Villa. Villa? Man, this season's been going by. But there were so many opportunities where we were hanging in, and then like in a matter of moments late in the game, it's like, oh, well, and we're going home very disappointed because we should be going home very happy.
Can change in a second.
Change on a dime.
Beautiful. Love Fulham. We love Fulham here on
Chiefs. Look, we're still top 10. Yeah, it's a glorious season, but it's the matter of being top five now.
Leaving it on the field. Yeah, that's. Or I mean, I go through the same thing with 10. My team. It's just leaving that stuff on the field where you're like, come on, man. It all started game one, fumbling into the end zone, yeah. Travis Etienne, and you're like, all right, well, this is how this season's going to go. Mm-hmm. And Fulham obviously is playing better than that, but it's still like, we had it. It was right there.
Right there. The 94th minute on like a 5 minutes of extra time. Like, damn.
Yep. So. All right, press conference.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
All right, everybody. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere at Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. I got a big show at Grove 34, November 20th, Brennan and the Broken Toys. Come out and see that. It's going to be a hilarious stand-up show. Caitlin Palufo, Max Fine, and SB Rivadeneira along with me. So that'll be a lot of fun. Get your tickets at BrennanTComedy.com. Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the network. That is Who Does a Pie. That is A New Low. Don't forget to check out my merch at Etsy.com/shop/ Headphone Joe, no E in the phone. Also, check out the music under the moniker Headphone Joe, no E in the phone on all digital streaming platforms. Brennan, 200. They said we couldn't do it. We got it done.
We did it.
They said we would go long, and of course we did. I haven't even looked at the time. I just know. But let's get out of here.
All right, and that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. You shout out Tua Tagovailoa. The funny man is back.